My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Keith Smith hosts a great podcast called The Fuel Podcast. Keith, tell us what these fine folks will get out of listening.
Fuel is all about the advertising business. It's like Mad Men for the ears. Every show, I pick on a hot topic to discuss or interview a celebrity from the world of British and American advertising. We chat about all sorts of things, and I try and uncover the real person behind the image using just my powerful charm, incisive wit, and incredible humility.
Awesome. Where can people subscribe?
Wherever they normally get their podcasts, from Apple, Google, Spotify, the MPN website, or just visit my website at thefuelpodcast.com.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Jamie Geyer.
Traditionally, our content has been very static. It doesn't allow someone, a consumer, to really engage with your brand in a meaningful way. And so immersive content brings your content to life and allows your consumer, your buyer, your customer to really engage with it and kind of get absorbed in the story that you're telling with it.
As CMO of Cerros, Jamie Geyer works with many top brands, including NBC Universal, Monster.com, JP Morgan, Wall Street Journal, United Airlines, and United Healthcare, to create immersive content experiences. With more than 25 years experience, Jamie has worked with leading tech companies from healthcare to education to grow and scale by creating impactful brands, designing revenue-gathering go-to-market strategies, and leading high-performance teams. Prior to Cerros, Jamie held roles at Dreambox Learning, SCI Solutions, now R1, Microsoft, and GE Healthcare. She also served as a board member for Page Ahead, a nonprofit focused on the literacy needs of at-risk kids in Washington State, and chaired its Marketing and Fund Development Committee. Jamie, welcome to On Brand.
Thank you, Nick. I am very happy to be here with you today.
You know, your work with Page Ahead there referenced is near and dear to my heart. My Nick fun fact of the week, which I introduce as though it's a feature, but I really don't think it is. But my very first job in marketing long ago was writing catalog copy for instructional materials for at-risk readers. So I really enjoyed working in education long ago, and found that was a neat. It's always neat when you're selling something that you feel like has an impact.
Oh, absolutely. And my father was an educator. And so we grew up in a house where reading was a thing we did every day, every evening, outside of the walls of your traditional classroom. And so just understanding the power of stories, but the importance of reading and making sure that kids have access to books to kind of stretch their imagination, but also just making sure that they're set up for success later on in their academic year. So very important, especially among those kids who are at risk and don't have easy access to books.
Well, and it seems like that background guided your career as well. You know, the brand that sticks out to me there in your bio that, before this past 2 years of pandemic, I would not have known about, but Dreambox was a regular part of our at-home school
online school experience for our second and third grader at the time. So,
oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Drainbox is near and dear to my heart, even though I am no longer there with that company. And I know that you reside in Iowa. We actually formed a partnership with the STEM program that your governor is running, and Dreambox is part of that as an option for both math confidence and competence. But I'm so glad to hear it's part of your home life as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, I think that you talk about the changing needs of lots of different students. And I think that's where, you know, from writing the catalog copy long ago, I'm excited to see, you know, our work in technology is able to help kiddos in a variety of ways and in a variety of settings also.
Exactly. And that's actually, you know, when I think about my career and kind of where I've drifted over the years, I guess drifting is not the right word, because it actually was a very intentional pathway that I took. But I knew, Nick, that if I was going to pursue a career in marketing and branding, I wanted to make sure that I worked for companies that I knew were going to have a positive social impact on society and within our community. You know, marketing and branding has somewhat always had a little bit of a negative reputation, largely, I think, around advertising, and really wanted to shed that a bit, because the work that we do is so important to bringing visibility around, especially in technology, the things that can have an impact on the lives of people and how they learn, how they work, all of those things. So it was very intentional getting into ed tech, and also prior to that, healthcare.
That's really interesting too, because I grapple with that, because, you know, most of us that are doing this work, we like doing it, but I also recognize, yeah, that it's got, like you said, that kind of reputation that you know, for some, you know, maybe bad actors, and like you said, on the advertising side of things. But I also think, boy, if you can connect what we do to you know, with branding and marketing to products in education and healthcare, it's going to be a win-win. So I love that intentionality that you said about your career, and quick to correct your drifting verb, yeah, there.
I'm a bit of a planner, so it wasn't necessarily drifting. Although I guess there is some of that a little bit as we, even as we get into the later stages of our professional career in terms of where we want to go. But no, there was a lot of intentionality to it, as you mentioned. And I've been very, very fortunate to work for companies that are doing amazing things to just improve our society. So I've felt very blessed with that, including Dreambox.
So with I love meeting a fellow planner. So that makes me happy. But in talking about that intentionality, let's fast forward up to your work at Cerros now, creating immersive content experiences. So help do a little buzzword decoding for us there.
Okay, I will do that for you. So content strategy is a key tool that we use to be able to tell stories and to build kind of a visual identity, but also just an identity around our brands. And traditionally, our content has been very static. It doesn't allow someone, a consumer, to really engage with your brand in a meaningful way. And so immersive content is content that they can engage with. It could be a quiz. It could be an infographic that they can explore. And there's a lot of animation around it. But it essentially brings your content to life and allows your consumer, your buyer, your customer to really engage with it and kind of get absorbed in the story that you're telling with it. And we know that immersive content outperforms static content because of the engagement. And I think when we when we think about how hard brands have to work even today in this digital world, that you have a very short amount of time to grab someone's attention and bring them in. And immersive content is a way that you can do that.
So when you talk about the greater engagement with immersive content versus static content, is it just attention? Is it an emotional connection? What are some of the big differences in terms of the audience perspective?
Well, it's definitely an emotional connection. That's why brand work is so important, and that's the core of brand to begin with. Your brand purpose is to have that emotional connection with your audience. So that's there regardless. Immersive content allows you to really express that and build upon that emotion that you have between your brand and your customer. So it's helping to bring that to life and cement that engagement and that connection with it.
So what are some of your favorite examples that illustrate how immersive content works?
One of my favorite examples is what Kimpton Properties is doing right now. So we're coming off 2 years where many of us didn't travel. Thank God things are coming back now. And I was just talking to a colleague of mine who's got all of this travel planned. So we're very, very excited. And what Kimpton is doing is positioning itself as the destination that you want to visit and stay at as travel opens back up. And it's not just about your room and your amenities, it's the experience. And so they've launched these seasonal campaigns like Summer Like You Mean It. And if you go to their microsite on this, it really focuses on how they are creating an experience for travelers that extends beyond just the room itself, but it really puts you into the seat of poolside, having a drink, exploring the property. And so they've done a really nice job of using immersive content to bring you into a world where you can experience their location, whatever destination it might be. And it's nice. I mean, you go there and you can visualize yourself at one of their properties and go, yeah, I definitely want to stay there.
That's a great example too, and really illustrates what you said about, I mean, a great example of that immersiveness of the customer putting themselves there. I mean, we as marketers strive to do that all the time, you know, and all the way back to features versus benefits. But in something like that, of actually seeing yourself there, that's amazing work if you think about it.
Well, it is, because we're, as brand strategists, we're trying to help people see a better version of themselves and to experience the world in a way that delights them and brings them joy. And so I think that they've done a wonderful job of helping people see them do that at a Kimpton property. And so they've executed on that extremely well, because you go onto their site and you're like, gosh, the sunshine, like you can almost feel the sunshine. You can feel the pool water. You can taste that drink that they're offering. You can feel the warmth of the fire in their fireplace. It's very, very well done. And that, Nick, is the power of immersive content. It allows you to do that, to bring your brand to life in a way that a PDF simply does not allow you to do. And the beauty about Seros is it is a no-code platform that allows even non-design savvy marketers to go in and create experiences, because you don't have to rely on the front-end web developer. Now, our primary user for sure is the graphic designers, but because of the intuitiveness of the platform itself, we're making it easier for other creators to be able to participate and do this. Because if you think about the pace at which we have to get information out, the consistency of the stories that you need to put out in the universe, you want to make sure that you have a way that all creators can get in and be able to do that.
On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Keith Smith hosts a great podcast called The Fuel Podcast. Keith, tell us what these fine folks will get out of listening.
Fuel is all about the advertising business. It's like Mad Men for the ears. Every show, I pick on a hot topic to discuss or interview a celebrity from the world of British and American advertising. We chat about all sorts of things, and I try and uncover the real person behind the image using just my powerful charm, incisive wit, and incredible humility.
Awesome. Where can people subscribe?
Wherever they normally get their podcasts, from Apple, Google, Spotify, the MPN website, or just visit my website at thefuelpodcast.com.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
Now, back to the show.
So you've been talking about some of these examples of immersive content and how the Seros platform works. You mentioned content strategy earlier. Where does one start with, you know, we've got folks listening to this interview thinking, yeah, we need to get beyond the PDF. Where does the process of immersive content experiences start?
It really starts, Nick, with understanding your customer's buying journey. What type of information moves them and inspires them to even want to consider and evaluate your brand? What moves them to want to purchase and do business with you? And then what's going to keep them as a customer as well? And it varies. It's going to vary by the kind of person they are. So their persona, it likely will vary by the demographics. The way that I consume information, I'm 50 years old, is very different than, say, my niece who's 25. So it's really understanding and having the details about your buyers, and then mapping out the journey. What channels do they go to get information? What communities do they visit? Now we're even tasked with understanding the power of dark social, like this podcast. Where do they go to listen to influencers and thought leaders? And then from there, once you understand that, you can start understanding the type of content you're going to need to move them through the journey until up to the time that they choose your brand as part of their professional life, their personal life. But it really does start with understanding who that person is and what inspires and brings them joy. Then you can figure out what type of channels you need to focus on, and then how do you feed content in there. And it's, when we think about content, it's not just a one and done, because you're telling a story based on where they are in their journey. So you want to make sure that the content plays off of each other. So as you build that story and tell the story, and we'll probably talk a lot about stories during this segment too, because I'm a big story person.
I think that last part that you noted too, right before story, even, of making sure that you are understanding your customer and what they need, what they're looking at, because it seems like you've got a lot of marketers that say, I need an XYZ, a video, a site, some audio content. And instead of thinking about what it is that they're that best fits their customer. So I think rewinding back to that journey is critical, especially to go all the way back to where we started with the challenges of technology today. Is it's harder than ever to get attention and to stand out. You can't afford to not consider that and risk making the wrong thing for your audience.
Exactly. And when I started out in marketing, we didn't have all of these different channels that we could use to get a message out, to get our story out for people to see and engage with our brand. It's changed drastically since 1994. So we have now more ways to express that brand, but we also have to be very intentional about where we do that and when we do that based on where your buyer is. And the other reality to this too, and this gets really exhausting at times, is your customer is always on. They're always on. And so you also want to make sure that you find the moments when they're on, that they see your brand, but not in an intrusive way, because I think that there are some companies that are super intrusive in how they're trying to connect, and then you shut them out. You tune them out. And we're also at a place where we're trying to get customers to invite us into their homes, invite us into their office, whether at home or at, you know, a traditional building, office building. And being invited in, people are getting choosy because they have so many options.
So you mentioned story earlier, and I think that story also has tremendous impact, but it also has some buzzword risk to it and differing definitions. So to the brand builders listening out there, what's the most important thing that we need to remember about story today?
The most important thing that we have to remember about story is it's not about you. It's about your customer and making them the hero of the story. The story is intended to help people see that better future, the better version of themselves. Again, getting back to the better version of being a mom, being a professional, being a community member. Those are the things that connect. And it's not just one story. It's multiple stories that you have to tell over time. I think the other piece of that and why stories is so important. There was a book that I read. I'm a huge Arthur Brooks fan. He writes for The Atlantic, a lot of topics on happiness and joy. And in the book, Love Your Enemies, he wrote this at a time when, and I would say that we still have a bit of it, this culture of contempt, where it's people being pitted against each other. And in the book, he has a whole chapter dedicated to the power of stories to remove that contempt and to connect people. And he brings up a study based out of Princeton University. And I hope I do not pronounce this person's name wrong, but it's Yuri Hassan or Hassan. And he's part of the psychology department and the neuroscience institute there. And he did this study, and he used MRI technology to see what happens to your brain when a person is telling a story and a person receives the story. And it's fascinating, Nick, because what the study shows is that there's a thing called brain-to-brain coupling. And it's literally getting people on the same brain wavelength, which sounds really, really silly. But they prove out that the emotional connection happens through those stories. You can be on the polar opposite of somebody on an issue, but once you start sharing stories, it brings them together. And I bring that up because it's so important to the work that we do as brands. And if you really want your brand to connect with somebody, the power of the story is incredible. And I think one of the companies that does this really, really well, and it's stuck with me for a good 10 years now, is P&G. I mean, P&G produces some of the best brand strategists, I believe, and I work with some of them from a consulting perspective. But I don't know if you remember the Thank You Mom campaign that they did about 10 years ago, and it was in tandem with, you know, Mother's Day and the Olympics. Nick, I watched that today and I still tear up. And there's no narration. That's the power of a visual story. in connecting with people. And part of that obviously is because I'm a mom, but that's really good branding. That's very, very good branding. They understood their audience.
That is a great example of so much of what we've talked about. But I love, I mean, even the last point there on P&G, you know, versus just telling a story, a visual story, I would argue, is right back to what we were talking about of being an even more immersive version instead of me just telling you this heartwarming story.
Exactly.
So you've talked about a few different brands, and it is now time for me to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Nick, I am a big fan of Shark Tank, but that's not the brand that I'm going to highlight. But Shark Tank, my son and my son is 15 years old. We really enjoy watching it. And I think it's good for him too, because he's interested in business and other things. But I love to watch how entrepreneurs pitch their business ideas, but I also love to go out and buy their products. And I did that a couple months ago with Pluto Pillow. And here's why I think that they have done a great job. So Pluto Pillow allows you to go on and onto their site, and they ask for information about sleeping patterns, firmness of the pillows that you like, just things about you. So there's personalization that they take into consideration in terms of building a pillow that's best for you so you get the best sleep. So you go online, you submit the information, and when the pillow arrives, it's pure delight. It comes packaged in this beautiful box, so it's not all squished together and rolled up and stuffed in a plastic bag. It's a beautiful box wrapped in paper, and they include a card that basically says, "We heard you," and it's a summary, Nick, of the information that you provided so that you remember. This is what you told us. Here's what we're delivering to you. Not only that, they actually put in a piece of candy, an Airhead. Now, I know that sounds really, really silly because I'm like, what does candy have to do with sleep? But I thought, I remembered that little tiny little token of delight to say, thank you so much for purchasing our product. But I bring them up because from end to end, they did a phenomenal job of one, understanding who you are as a person, designing a product for you, delivering it in a way that says, this is really special. And by the way, we heard you. So just so you remember, this is what you told us. So here's what we're delivering. And oh, by the way, have a little bit of sugar because we love you. That's awesome. I love that. I'm a packaging person. And so they just brought me delight. In fact, I shared it on social media and went fantastic. The interesting thing, though, Nick, about that story, the sharks did not invest in them.
Oh, they're missing out. They're missing out. Well, I am also a packaging person. You know, I'm usually fitting with the planning personality, fairly organized. But when I get cool packaging, I'm a bit of a pack rat with it. I still have a package on the ground here from my Headley and Bennett apron. That I love, but it's also kind of the neuroscience hour because the candy being in there makes me think of Judy Burgoon's work and the expectancy violations theory. You do not expect to find candy in your shipping box, so it stood out to you as a result of that. So,
well, and I love Airheads too. The other piece of this too is, it feels kind of funny saying this because I work for a company that helps creators design digital immersive content, but I also have a soft spot for the physical world and bringing that into your home, which is probably why I love gravitating towards the packaging piece of it. But also the mailers that we can now get in really nice boxes that have delights in it. And I think that left an impression to me as well. They were able to bridge the digital and the physical in a very nice way. And I love that.
And I think, you know, I, feel like sometimes we get into this binary mindset that it's an either or, but it's really a both and when it comes to that digital impact, which is powerful and immersive and everything we said. But you also, when you're holding something interesting in your hand that someone packed up and sent to you, you can't beat it. So like you said, in describing the surprise of that airhead, that's awesome. Jamie, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Best place is LinkedIn, and you can easily find me there under Jamie Geyer. And that's where I connect with many of my friends and colleagues.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to that in our show notes. Jamie, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thank you, Nick, so much.
On Brand is part of the Marketing Podcast Network. If you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, you can always listen free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. And please take a moment and rate and review the podcast to help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Keith Smith hosts a great podcast called The Fuel Podcast. Keith, tell us what these fine folks will get out of listening.
Fuel is all about the advertising business. It's like Mad Men for the ears. Every show, I pick on a hot topic to discuss or interview a celebrity from the world of British and American advertising. We chat about all sorts of things, and I try and uncover the real person behind the image using just my powerful charm, incisive wit, and incredible humility.
Awesome. Where can people subscribe?
Wherever they normally get their podcasts, from Apple, Google, Spotify, the MPN website, or just visit my website at thefuelpodcast.com.
You heard him. Go subscribe.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.